Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it's great to be with you. Before we start today, I'd like to give a quick shout out to everyone who has sent through a topic suggestion over the past few months. We've had some great ideas come in, which we are keen to sink our teeth into. So thank you so much for that. Of course, if you'd like to send something our way as well, you can do so by shooting an email through to podcast@moneymag.com.au. But onto the episode. What are we talking about today? Well, unless you've been living under a rock, you'll be well aware of the Reserve Bank's recent rate hiking agenda, particularly if you are paying off a mortgage. I think it's fair to say that many mortgage holders on a variable rate have slowly been worn down 25 and 50 basis points at a time by these rate rises. But at the same time, a sizable cohort of homeowners who locked in one of those super low fixed rates during the depths of the pandemic have been relatively sheltered from the storm. But as those fixed rates start to come off, that is beginning to change. So to have a chat about the so-called fixed mortgage cliff that we are approaching or have already reached, and to take a look at the potential action that homeowners staring down a massive rate hike can take, I'm pleased to say that we are joined today by Josh Brome, Chief Product Officer at online mortgage broker Finspo. Josh, welcome to Friends with Money.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom. It's a topic I'm passionate about, so I'm excited to be here having a chat with you about it.
I know you would be. So Josh, first of all, can you bring us up to speed with what the mortgage cliff is all about and why it's an issue for, as I said, a sizable number of homeowners with a mortgage?
Yeah, journalists are good at giving catchy labels to things, aren't they, Tom? So the fixed rate mortgage cliff describes the really kind of significant and sudden increase in interest rates, which mortgage holders are facing now as their low fixed rates come to an end and they switch on to a much higher variable rate. And the history here, as you point out, dates back to the pandemic in late 2020-21 when the RBA cut the cash rate to historic lows of 0.1%. They were providing really cheap funding to keep the economy moving through a really tough time. And that meant that there was low interest rates and cheap money available to banks and mortgage holders. And the good news is that hundreds of thousands, in fact, millions of Aussies took advantage of this by locking in ultra low rates for 2 to 3 years, typically. And so that was happy days for everyone who falls into this category. They've had the benefit of a really low interest rate on their mortgage for the last 2 to 3 years. And we're talking rates below 2%. So what a fantastic outcome during that time. But now we fast forward, we've seen 13 increases to the cash rate in 14 months. The cash rate is now 4.1%. The average variable rate for a homeowner in Australia is now 6.2 or 6.3%, a far cry from the 2% that we were once enjoying on those fixed rates. And what happens when your fixed rate period ends is your bank will automatically switch you over to a variable rate. And it's important to point out that it's often not the most competitive variable rate that they have on offer that they switch you to. So overnight, a mortgage holder on a fixed rate feels the impact of 13 cash rate rises in one hit. Their rate jumps from 2% to more than 6%, and their repayment increases substantially. And all of a sudden, they're staring at that fixed rate mortgage cliff that we talk about.
So in terms of repayment, Josh, I'm imagining that with all those banked up RBA rate rises and that have been passed on by the banks since then, what kind of, I guess, jump in terms of repayments are we talking about? Are we talking about thousands of dollars there?
Yeah, we are. And they are big numbers, as much as 60%. It's important to point out that everyone's situation is a little different. It depends on the fixed rate that you locked in, the variable rate that you roll onto, how big your loan is. But for an average $500,000 loan, our estimates show that your repayments could increase from around $1,800 a month to almost $3,000 a month. And that happens overnight in one hit. And obviously, it's really hard for the family budgets in a time like this to find that extra, you know, $1,000 to $1,200 a month to make your mortgage repayments.
Okay, so that's the situation, and you've explained that really well, Josh. But for anyone whose fixed rate has just ended or you know, is about to end in the next few months, is there anything that they can do or should be doing? And if so, when's the time to act?
Yeah, the short answer is yes. There are options for you. And typically, you'll always be better off if you take action and get prepared to get yourself into the best possible situation. So let's start with the person whose fixed rate hasn't yet ended. The first thing you should be doing is doing some research to understand what the impact will be for you. So FINSPO has a great fixed rate ending calculator, which helps you understand A, what your repayments are likely to jump from and to, and then B, how much you could potentially save by taking some action. So that's going to really help you with your budgeting, because you should be starting to think about budgeting and adjusting that family budget over time. On a recent episode of Friends with Money, we had Paul Clitheroe talking about how changing your budget is a slow process. It takes a bit of time to adjust that budget. And so getting ahead of this big event that's about to happen with your mortgage is a really smart way to do. And so in that time, you could start thinking about paying ahead on your fixed rate to get adjusted to what those new repayments look like. That not only helps you pay off your loan a little bit faster when your rate's lower, but it also helps you prepare for that moment. I should just point out that it's worth checking the terms of your fixed rate, as there are some caps and limits in place to how much you can pay ahead. So if you are going to take that action, just be sure to check. It's typically around $10,000 that you can pay ahead before you start to incur some fees.
Okay.
And so if your fixed rate has ended already, I should say, this is action time. This is the time that you need to get moving. And what we know is that banks won't automatically switch you to their most competitive interest rate. So if you don't act, you will likely end up paying more than you need to. And what your options here are, you can negotiate with your lender. Often they'll give you a better rate to retain your business, but potentially not the best rate that they're offering to their shiny new customers. So then you can think about refinancing your loan, either a do-it-yourself option by scanning the market, or engage an expert to hold your hand through that process, help you compare apples with oranges and shop your loan around the literally thousands of options that exist in the market to help you find the one that's right for you and gets you on that most competitive interest rate.
So Josh, I guess, you know, you've mentioned that everyone's situation is obviously going to be different depending on their loan size or existing rate, a whole bunch of different factors. But can you give us a sense of, I guess, how much people could potentially save by acting and not just kind of accepting the revert rate that they're shunted onto by their existing lender?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. And what we know from the data is that there is currently a gap between what existing customers pay versus what new customers pay. And that gap is around 0.4%. So on a $500,000 loan, again, that's equivalent to $2,000 a year in interest savings. And if you're eligible, you might also be able to take advantage of one of these refinance cashback offers of up to $4,000. And so all of a sudden, you're looking at some substantial savings, and you've turned that headache of the fixed rate ending into a bit of a win for you, because you're now saving some money and getting a little bit ahead and helping to navigate those stormy waters that everyone's feeling as these fixed rates end.
Obviously, you don't have a crystal ball, Josh, but is there any situation where someone might want to consider locking in another fixed rate at the moment, or is going for a variable rate, you know, going to be the way to go for most people?
Yeah, if I had that crystal ball, Tom, I may have fixed my own interest rate for a little bit longer.
Oh, no.
But this is a tricky one, and it really, again, comes down to your individual circumstances. What I would recommend against is purely looking at the numbers and the interest rates that differ between the fixed and the variable product. Fixed rates are typically a reflection of what the market expects to happen with variable interest rates over a period of time. So if you're choosing a product based purely on the interest rate differential, then it is a bit of a roll of the dice. If rates go up, and you're fixed, you might be in front. If rates go down and you're fixed, then you might be paying more than a variable rate customer. And so the key consideration for your listeners here is around the benefits of a fixed and a variable rate. A fixed rate comes with a fixed repayment. And that gives you certainty. So if you're looking for certainty in your family budget over a period of time, then a fixed rate could be a really great option for you. If you don't need that certainty, then a variable rate, something that can go up and down and you're at the mercy of the market, then that could be the one for you. But there are also some feature differences to be aware of. Often fixed rate products don't come with things like offset accounts, and they have a limited ability to make additional repayments above your scheduled amount. And so they're considerations that go with a fixed rate product. One thing that is worth mentioning and is quite a popular choice that Australians make is a split loan, where you take part of your mortgage as a fixed rate loan and part of your mortgage as a variable rate loan. And that gives you the best of both worlds. You get a fixed interest rate for a portion and you get a variable interest rate for the rest of it. And that still allows you those benefits of an offset account and the ability to make additional repayments above the minimum.
Well explained, Josh. I think that's really helpful. You obviously mentioned before that there are probably hundreds of lenders, thousands of different home loan products and variations on the market, and obviously some are more competitive than others. So are you able to give us an indication of some of the better value home loan options, or I guess interest rates around at the moment, just to give people a sense of what's out there and how their own rate might compare at the moment?
Yeah, you're spot on, Tom. There literally are thousands of products. And the good news here is that it's still a really competitive market. So whilst rates are much higher than what they once were, lenders are still fighting hard to win the business of new customers. And that's a good thing for consumers, because it means that there are big differences between a good rate and an average rate when it comes to home loan. And there is still real incentive to shop around and make sure you're getting the very best deal for yourself. And so rates can be a little bit complex because there are different scenarios that apply. But to quote a common scenario, which is a homeowner making principal and interest repayments on, say, $500,000 loan, we see some of the smaller challenger banks offering rates in that mid 5% range. Some of the more popular household names like Macquarie, Suncorp, ING in that 5.7 to 5.9 range. And then we see some major banks like Commonwealth Bank and NAB who don't have interest rates advertised on their website below 6.24% currently. So you can see there's a really big range between different lenders and different products. And there's literally thousands of options out there. So whilst interest rates are really important, there is a lot more to it. There's other things to consider when you're choosing the one for you. There are different fees, there are different offers, there's different features, there's different structures. All of those things are important considerations when finding the right option for you. And that's where mortgage brokers like Finspo, who are free to use, they get paid by the lender to act in your best interests. They're a really great resource for someone who's, I guess, scratching their head and wondering, which way do I go next? Engage an expert. They'll hold your hand and help you pick the right one for you.
Before we let you go, Josh, going to put you on the spot here a little bit, but do you have a final tip or a piece of advice you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, whatever you do, don't accept the rate that you're given when your fixed rate ends. Just do something. Something is better than nothing here. So if you get a kick out of negotiating with your own lender, do that. And make sure you're on a really competitive variable rate. If you have the time to research the market and the thousands of products on offer to find a better deal for you, then think about refinancing with another lender. But if all of that sounds too hard and you want the free advice of an expert and someone to do the heavy lifting with you or for you, talk to a broker. But the final thing is, something is better than nothing. It's not a time to put your head in the sand. It's time to get moving and take action to get that mortgage of yours back into shape.
I think that's a really great place to end things on. And, you know, as you underscored before, we're talking about potentially, you know, thousands of dollars that people can save here. So it's definitely worth the effort by the sounds of it. Josh, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure having you on. So look forward to having you back on the show in the future.
No worries, Tom. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to Friends with Money, we'd love you to spread the word by recommending it to someone you know. Or you can leave us a glowing review on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, or your podcast platform of choice, if it lets you, that is. And while you're there, hit subscribe to make sure that you don't miss out on our future episodes. Last of all, you can keep up to date with all the latest financial news on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, though, but we'll be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.